What's up, everybody? This week, Sarah and I continue our conversation on one of the most polarizing figures in American political history, the presidency of Bill Clinton. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. Hey, everyone. This is John here. What's going on? Welcome back to the 90s Podcast, right here in the Because We Network. Hope you're doing well today, and I'm joined by Sarah Connolly. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fabulous.
That's going on the end, by the way.
Okay. Lordy, 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 Miss Claudie. Let's do the thing.
Okay, let's do the thing. Before we go ahead and get started, let's tell you what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be talking about the presidency of Bill Clinton, part two. We kind of sped through last week, and we've got some things that we need to talk about and clear up this week. Yay!
Yay!
So, Sarah, before we go ahead, how have you been in the last 20 minutes? Because we're recording these back to back.
So. Well, yeah. It's for, you know, momentum's sake, and I've still got ICP in my head, so this is going to be a great podcast. Lord help. Okay.
Kiss is just Boomer Juggalo. What do you think about it?
And see, I've been too close on both of those. Like, I've had like Gene Simmons blood spit, and I've gotten popped in the head with a seltzer bottle. So. Really? You went there with both of them?
I didn't know you had the Gene Simmons stuff.
Yes. Oh. One of the first of 5 million farewell tours.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. It was the one. It was like 96, 97. Kathy and I went. It was fabulous.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, let's first of all talk about Bill Clinton. That's why we're here this
week. Before we
go ahead and talk about Bill Clinton, don't forget to check out becausewenetwork.com. That's where you find all of our archives of every show that we've ever done, either. Every video game show, every stream, every podcast, everything. If this is where you listen to podcasts, congratulations, you found us. If it's not, don't worry, we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and Amazon Music.
We're everywhere.
So if you like Amazon Music, go ahead. Go find us over there. That's where we're at, okay? And of course, if you're into social media, go check out our social media pages at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. All that is in the description below in our link tree.
And all that jazz.
Well, talking of jazz, Bill Clinton was an avid jazz player, was he?
Yes, he was. He and his saxophone.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How bad did the marijuana admission cost Clinton?
It didn't.
Not at all.
He gained votes. Seriously, that he gained votes.
Was it because of his honesty, or was it because of?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was because of his his honesty and his candor. Now I say honesty. I say honesty. He can't say that he didn't inhale. He inhaled the shiznit out of that weed. That was good 60s hashish too. He smoked the. He was in London and he smoked the stuff.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a shame because his administration put away a lot of
people
for doing the exact same stuff that the president does.
Do as I say and not as I've done.
As Nixon said, if the president does it, then it's not illegal.
Oh, so does somebody else. We're not going to talk about him, though.
Apparently, from all the metrics, Nixon was a good president except for Watergate.
Except for that one thing.
Yeah, except for that one thing.
Yeah, no, and that's actually, I've read that in several places. Like, if you take that out, he would have been one of the greatest presidents that ever presidented.
But so, you can't take out the one controversy that defines a presidency for any president.
No, but you can give Gen Z and millennials the control over his presidential library's Twitter, who are very quick to clap back when compared to recent ex-presidents. Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, like, he messed up, but he ain't did all that. Like, and then they get real, certain things are worth following.
Yes. So, but I mean, you know, mistakes that define a presidency. We will talk about one of them here in a little while. So let's talk about some of the stuff that he did as president.
Well, you've got the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993. Basically, if you or your spouse or your child is sick, or an adult that you care for, that your primary caregiver, and you know how you could go to HR and fill out that form, and they're guaranteed, like, they have to give you a certain amount of leave? That's because of this.
Well, speaking as a European, this law is disgusting.
Yes. Because y'all have been doing this forever and ever.
Well,
amen.
Not just that. It's unpaid, and yeah, it's only up to 12 weeks.
Right, whereas y'all pay.
We'll either pay for up to 12 weeks, or you have unlimited time
right
to get your phase in order, and without fear of losing your job.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you only have 12 weeks over here...
I mean, we're capitalists at heart, babe.
I mean... Somebody in America went to Holland and asked how many sick days they had, and the Dutch were like, all of them? What do you mean? He said, if you're sick, don't show up to work.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, speaking as a liberal socialist European, you know, it just seems a little weird that we're celebrating
right
the bare minimum.
But at the time, though, there was nothing. Like, there wasn't even, I mean, there was nothing. So, the fact that that existed was groundbreaking. And again, like we said last episode, a lot of these things that he did to today's metrics are going to be like, really? But at the time, it was, yeah. And then
these were the foundations for all the rules that we want.
Right, right. And like you said, and we're just hitting some major events that happened during his presidency, either terms, both terms.
Yeah.
There were some tragedies, you know, both the Waco, Oklahoma City, and the first World Trade Center bombings all happened during his tenure.
Yeah, the World Trade Center bombings happened on the 26th of February, 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Six people were killed, and the attack was linked to the Iraqi regime, as apparently the people who performed the act
mm-hmm.
were part of Iraqi intelligence.
Right.
This was kind of retaliation for invading that country.
Right.
Over the Iran-Kuwait stuff that happened with George Hitchaby Bush.
Right.
Daddy Bush.
Yeah. And then you also have the Branch Davidian compound, which is the Waco. And that was 51 days. And we've touched on this before.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on the Waco siege.
We probably will at some point. That whole thing was very jacked up. We've talked about this before because I lived in Texas at the time. And it was like everywhere. But the compound and its leader, David Koresh, went on lockdown after they refused a warrant to search the compound after allegations of polygamy, child rape, and hoarding unlicensed weapons. The administration is criticized for its response, leading to the death of 86 people over two raids.
And we mentioned this during our feminism episode that
yes,
it was
with
partly
Reno, yeah.
Janet Reno's responsibility to get the facts right, and
right.
She didn't.
Right.
Which... resulted in tragedy.
Right.
But hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah. But Koresh was
a
horrible person.
Was there
person.
A way that could have ended in any other form other than violence?
Violence was inevitable, but there didn't need to be two raids. If it had been planned properly,
the casualties
the first
would have been...
raid could have been... sufficient, like would have, you know. Now, would people have died? Absolutely. There's no way that could have happened without violence, because the people that were there weren't going anywhere. That's what they were doing. That is absolutely like David was the Messiah,
and you'll never take me alive.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. But that was that. And then you also had the Oklahoma City bombing, which was Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. They set off a fertilizer bomb on April 19th of 1995. 168 people died and over 650 people were wounded. And it was the worst act of domestic terrorism in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
partially a retaliatory attack after the Waco siege.
That fertilizer bombs.
And keep in mind, when we say, for the longest time, it was the biggest terrorist act on American soil. But then, of course, that's changed after 9/11. But when we say domestic terrorism, we mean like homegrown, born, bred Americans against Americans. Yeah. That is the definition of
domestic terrorism.
Of that we're using for domestic terrorism, right?
Well, that is the definition of domestic terrorism.
Right, but some people... I just want to make sure that it's understood what we mean by
because,
that. Yeah.
Because terrorism is action that scares people into doing the terrorist's bidding.
Right.
Well, you know, that's what it tried to do.
Right.
I mean, of course, he had the Unabomber, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So he liked Clinton had a lot of bombings on his watch.
Yes, there are many copies of the Anarchist Cookbook floating around. and another thing, and we touched about this last episode, but don't ask, don't tell. That was a policy that allowed members of the LGBT community to serve in the military, or as my Gen Z kids lovingly refer to them as, the Alphabet Mafia. And so, and they mean that, like, you know, that is not meant as derogatory at all. It's, yeah. But, yeah. So, however, only closeted members of the community were allowed to serve.
Yeah.
The rule also barred military personnel from asking about sexual status or investigating status. So, before
Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it was illegal.
If somebody suspected that you were gay, they could ask you, court-martial you, and drag you to court under the premise of possibly being gay. And for those of us who were younger when that passed, look at MASH, the show MASH. It was set in Vietnam. And there's the character, is it Klinger, I think, who wanted to go home. And so he dressed in a dress and cross-dressed through the majority of the show, hoping that someone would send him home. And unfortunately, it just did not happen. But Don't Ask, Don't Tell, on one hand, you couldn't get kicked out for someone suspecting you were gay. However, you could never openly live your truth.
Yeah.
Now, on one hand, again, you can't get court-martialed for suspicion, which was good at the time. That was a major step forward.
But you have to live closeted.
Right. So, you know, as attitudes changed, the act was repealed in 2010.
Yeah, the attitude, it was repealed in 2010, and it had the provisions of being openly gay stripped from the U.S. military, if that makes sense.
Right.
You could serve openly now.
Right. And so the thing is, though, is that over 13,000 servicemen and women were discharged.
13,000 good men and women.
Mm-hmm. And then you also had the Brady Act.
Well, before we go to the Brady Act,
yes.
I mean, obviously, Don't Ask, Don't Tell being revoked was good for the U.S. military, mm-hmm. and good for the country as a whole.
Right.
A lot of people saw that as Barack Obama pandering to special interest groups. Do you think that this was Bill Clinton's attempt to get more people on his side with another sly, disingenuous policy? Or
he wouldn't have been able to pass anything else at the time. That was as radical and as close to wokedom as you could have gotten back then,
in
the political sphere, because you have to think, before Clinton was HW, who is vice president to the conservative Reagan,
yeah,
there's no way on Hades
you could have jumped
You could have done that to so that was
it was as good as it was going to get.
It was as good as it could have gotten at the time. Even if he would have wanted, and who he may have wanted, he may not have wanted. I don't know. He probably didn't want. I mean, I hate to say that. But then again, I don't know. I don't know, you know. But even if he had been willing to concede a lot of stuff.
Excuse me.
To make that happen, it would not have passed the Congress, the House,
So basically, this is as good as it got.
Yeah, at that time.
Okay. So let's go on to the Brady Act, which I'm surprised for a start passed.
Well,
at the time,
John.
Now.
Yeah, because, well, John Brady's passed, hasn't he?
I'm not sure.
I think so. Okay, so for those who are unaware, it's John Brady, right?
Yeah, James Brady.
James Brady, excuse me. So James Brady was a
The former press secretary of Ronald Reagan. During the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan, he was the one who was wounded.
Yes, well, Reagan was wounded too, but Brady caught
the second.
Yeah, Brady caught a bullet for him. And it paralyzed him from not, I don't know if it was the neck down, but it's not much lower than the shoulder blades. I mean, it messed him up. Yeah, messed him up pretty good. And it turned out that the person had like bought the gun like the day of or the day before.
Yeah.
So to impress Jodie Foster, that's another story for another day.
He'd seen Taxi Driver too many
exactly.
times.
Exactly. No, literally.
No, I know. That's...
But the Brady Act mandated a 5-day waiting period on the purchase of firearms, and it set 9 provisions of a person failing a background check. If a person had been sentenced to a prison sentence exceeding 1 year, a fugitive on the run from the law, past drug convictions, previously committed to a mental institution, was a legal alien, dishonorably discharged military personnel, renounced citizens, people with restraining orders, or people convicted of domestic violence crimes. And again, it was named for James Brady, who was, again, like we said, was a former Reagan press secretary.
This was mocked considerably in Britain.
It
really was, because like now you've got to wait 5 whole days. Well, that's going to solve the problem, isn't it?
Well, again, if you wanted to wait, what else were they going to get?
No, I know.
I mean,
you're not going to.
No.
Mm-mm. Second Amendment folks would had a field day with this.
And here's the thing. It was a good thing, but it also did have its flaws. I mean, it was all drug convictions. Again, that included marijuana. So if you got caught with pot, you couldn't own a gun. Here's the thing. I am...
Story time.
I am liberal...
You're leftist in this.
I'm leftist. I'm not a registered Democrat. But I...
Because you go far enough left and the guns come back.
Right, yeah. But I'm actually okay with the Second Amendment. I'm okay with firearms, as long as they're done responsibly.
So walking around with a gun on your back going to McDonald's is not responsible.
Correct. I mean, it's not for me.
No, it's just a power trip.
Right. I think, you know, there's a time and a place. But having said all that, I think that it was as good as they were going to get at the time, but it had some flaws. Some of it was a given. I mean, obviously, if someone's on the run from the law, that you don't need a gun.
No, of course not. And non-citizens don't need...
A gun in America, right. If you have a restraining order on you, you don't need a gun. If you've been convicted of domestic violent crimes, you don't need a gun. If you... previously committed to a mental institution, I don't know, man, because it depends. Some people... It depends on how extensive that is, because if you've been put on a 72 and it was under suspicion because somebody called somebody and you didn't really need it, but you've technically been committed.
Yeah. Well, the act is still in effect right now. It's been gutted a little bit, but it's still in effect.
Yeah.
So let's move on to slightly happier conversations, or maybe not happier conversations, depending if you live in rural America or not.
NAFTA.
Yes,
the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mm-hmm. It was a trading bloc between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and it became the largest trading bloc in the Americas. It's currently being renegotiated by the three nations under the United States Mexico Canada Agreement, USMCA. And if that finishes going through, then NAFTA, as it stands now, will cease to be.
Well, let me look at that real quick. USMCA Act.
Yes. Did that pass?
You got to remember, my research is a little, a little older. But, let me look at this real quick. Sorry, everybody. It was ratified on the 13th of March, 2020, by Canada, and it came into effect on July 1st, 2020. So yes, it's actually in effect right now.
All
right,
so
my research on that is a little out of date. My sincerest apologies, because I like to keep things up and running. Right. And that replaced NAFTA.
Right.
When it came out.
Yes.
But NAFTA is, on the one hand, a good idea, because we have similar thing in the EU. But it was skewered in such a way where the capitalists took over.
Yeah, it's like, well, there was an attempt.
Yeah. It offered no protection for workers.
Right, none at all. So
the minute NAFTA came out, textile factories and stuff just packed up. I mean, there are towns in West Virginia to this day who have not, you know, who have not recovered.
Yeah.
Like, they have 25%, 30% unemployment in those towns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was again, we said it before, it's an attempt was made.
Yes, and it looked good on paper.
Yes.
But in execution, not so much.
But something that he did do right that I think was, you know, was something that you can't say was done wrong, was the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Ireland is split into two spaces. There's a certain amount of counties on the Irish island, and six of them belong to the UK, and the rest belong to the Republic of Ireland.
Right.
And that has been a point of contention for...
A while,
the Irish Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, constant fighting between the two nations... just going on since 1916.
Right.
After the Troubles.
Right.
And people of the island wanted... This was the European equivalent of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could get it down. Nobody could get it right. And the people of both countries just wanted peace. It's just the politicians couldn't agree on what peace was. If that made sense.
Right.
So... Bill Clinton welcomed Gerry Adams to the United States, who was the leader of the Sinn Féin political party.
Right.
Now, a lot of people said that Sinn Féin was the political arm of the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, which the British consider a terrorist group.
Right.
And it's not hard to see why.
Well, yeah, they did some heinous stuff at one point in time or another.
Yeah, I mean, there's the story of the Manchester bombing.
Right.
Which I don't know if it's true or not, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I'm going to repeat it, because this was some of this propaganda that was posted out. That they called in a bomb threat to a Manchester mall, and the bomb was actually down the street on the evacuation route.
Mm.
So, you know, that's some of the propaganda that was spoken about, and I don't know if that was 100% true. I was a youngster when it all went down.
Right.
Clinton also visited Northern Ireland and spoke publicly about the peace process.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to do it. They managed to get it taken care of on Good Friday, 1998, which is why it's called the Good Friday Agreement.
Right.
This kind of had no... This had a big effect on Northern Ireland. More than the Republic of Ireland.
Right.
But there was peace at last. There hasn't been any fighting since then. I mean, this is one of the things that now, with the Brexit process, is throwing a lot of that peace into jeopardy. Because Ireland can have a hard border, but the UK must have a hard border between the EU.
Right.
And Ireland is the EU, Republic of Ireland, and Northern Ireland is not.
Right.
So it's just one of the many, many things that the cluster of Brexit has brought to everyone.
Joy.
Which is you know, there's whispers of Irish reunification, which would be fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Sorry to all my Northern Ireland listeners who are British. Just go back to Scotland. Because, you know.
Yeah,
The Irish are Scots tribe, or is it the other way around?
That I don't know. That I'm not sure.
Billy Connolly made the joke that the one found the other and said, I know a place that's even rainier than this.
Great. So, oh, goodness.
But we've spoken about, we've tiptoed around it. Let's get to the juiciness of the Clinton administration. Let's get to why he's remembered. Like we mentioned Nixon earlier.
Right.
And he's going to be remembered for one thing.
Uh-huh.
While Bill Clinton, Slick right. Willie,
oh, geez.
Is remembered for one thing too. And that is not knowing the definition of the word is.
Well, it depends on what the definition of is. But let's go back to the beginning. So during all of this,
we're talking about Bill Clinton's impeachment.
Yes. So there was an issue with Whitewater. And Whitewater was a scandal. There was a controversy stemming from the Clintons' business dealings during his time as governor of Arkansas.
Yes. Now, I tried delving into that and...
You can get lost.
I get lost.
There were some legal-ish and whatnot. But within that, it all stems. It's all the tree of crap.
He was trying to give his friends a deal on some property and...
Allegedly. Yeah.
And...
Yeah. But within all of that, there also stemmed the Paula Jones scandal.
Yes.
So Paula Jones was a government employee for the state of Arkansas. And allegedly, Clinton had Jones escorted to his hotel room when he was governor and made a proposition. And that's a paddling. Made a proposition and then showed her the goods.
Showed her the presidential staff.
Right. Well, this
the gubernatorial staff at this point.
Yes. So Clinton denied wrongdoing, but settled out of court. I remember seeing some interviews with her, and no, that wasn't Paula Jones. It was Jennifer Flowers. I saw an interview with. Never mind. Paula Jones.
Paula Jones became a punchline.
Yes. Okay. So back up. Then you've got our dear Monica. Now, Monica was a 21-year-old intern who had a relationship with Clinton while he was president. Now, here's the thing. Should she have slept with a married man? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will say, though, that I really hope that I'm not held to the carpet for really stupid mistakes I made at 21.
No.
Your brain's not even fully formed then, for one. And for two, imagine being in that position where you are being told that you and made to feel desirable by the most important man in the world. I mean,
yeah.
Not saying it's that I would.
It's an abuse of power.
It's an extreme abuse of power. I'm not saying that I would have done the same thing that she did. So I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it's easy to see how somebody naive and young could be not coerced, but influenced into a relationship like that.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, I've got a 21-year-old kid, and dear God, I don't trust her to get the right kind of laundry detergent. I mean, I love her and she's responsible, but so while they're investigating all this Whitewater stuff, things come out with Monica, and it turned out that she claimed that there were 9 separate incidents that happened in the White House over an 18-month period. And in 1996, she was transferred to the Pentagon, where she told a fellow co-worker, Linda Tripp, about the relationship.
Who was recalled in all the conversations.
Yes, Linda Tripp did her dirty. Did her dirty. So, here's the thing. Lewinsky had submitted a sworn affidavit stating that she and Clinton were not doing anything inappropriate in the Paula Jones case. Right?
Yeah.
Lewinsky's recorded confessions were counted in the case because, again, Linda Tripp did her dirty. So the House started an investigation into the scandal. Clinton remarked his now infamous line, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman." Clinton claimed that receiving oral sex was not sexual relations. So it depends what the definition of is.
Oh.
So basically, if it's not, you know, clinical terms, if it's not penis to vagina sex, it's not sex.
Well, here's the thing. It's definitely cheating on your wife.
Yes. However, evidence for perjury was too great due to the Lewinsky tapes, and she kept her Gap dress. And this was also, this was one of the first scandals that somebody was like, I mean, it would have taken forever, longer than it does now, but they were like, you know, there's this new thing called DNA, and let's figure that out. And so, yeah, so he was charged with obstruction of grand jury and perjury and obstruction of justice.
So that's what he was impeached for. He wasn't impeached for
Whitewater,
the affairs.
Well,
A lot of people misconceptualize the fact that he had the affairs, therefore he was impeached. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, he lied about it.
He lied about it under oath.
He lied about it under oath on camera in front of a bunch of folks. And again, I'm not. You don't lie about stupid stuff. You don't do stupid stuff, and you don't lie about stupid stuff. But tell me what? How many men in situations of power that are getting called out publicly with their wife standing right there? They're gonna be like,
"Shut up!"
Right?
Yeah.
So does that excuse it? No, it doesn't excuse it at all.
And the Republicans had a field day. Easter, and Valentine's Day, it all come early.
Yes. So Clinton was stripped of his bar license and barred from practicing law for 5 years.
I mean, this became a punchline.
Right.
Everybody had a joke or two about it.
You know that HW used to send out the best. He would collect the best jokes and in this newfangled thing called email, send them out to people all the time.
Really?
Yes, he did.
I mean, you know,
he had a folder on his computer full of Monica jokes, which is ironic because, you know, after Clinton got out, Barbara, like, adopted him like a second son, or like a thousandth child. So there was a lot of Bush children, like a thousandth child. So, he called her mom sometimes. So,
well, you know, I mean, it became an aftermath. Now, what happened for Clinton is he was impeached, but he wasn't convicted.
Right.
Let's clear up what impeachment means for those people who don't understand what impeachment means or are not following American politics and don't know what impeachment is. Impeachment means that the House of Representatives has enough of a criminal case against you
right.
to where they think you should be removed from office.
Right.
That is then put to a vote.
Right.
And if the vote passes, that's moved along to the Senate.
Right.
Where the Senate holds a trial.
Right.
And at the end of the trial, it's
you can
a vote.
Be removed.
An example of that was Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who was infamously impeached
right.
and pulled from his position.
Right.
Former President Trump had two impeachments against his name.
But it didn't go to the Senate. The Senate declined to prosecute. Also, Nixon quit...
Before
resigned
he was impeached.
At the threat of impeachment. So Nixon was actually never impeached.
No.
Ever.
I think the only other president who was impeached was McKinley.
I'm not sure. But yeah. So but
that's gonna bother me. So
Lewinsky obviously regrets the affair and has become an advocate against cyberbullying and public shaming, describing herself as patient zero. She has a really good TED talk. It's actually really, really good. That I recommend. But, you know, are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up. It's Andrew Johnson, who was...
Johnson or Jackson?
Andrew Johnson, it says
here. Okay.
Because remember, there was two Johnsons who were president.
Yeah.
So...
But then, you know, after all of this, you've got to look at his legacy. And, I mean, he's one of the most diverse divisive figures in American political history.
Oh, yeah.
An enemy of conservatives due to his political stance, and an enemy of liberals due to alleged and confirmed sex scandals.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
You could say...
Hillary would have been elected had she not been married to Bill.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is jacked up. She caught so much crap for staying married by the same people who espouse family values.
All.
Hypocrisy, folks. I can't. But he's liked by moderates for balancing the budget and setting the agenda for 30 years of political debates. Gay rights, abortion rights, financial positions, and health care. His criticism of Barack Obama hurt his legacy with people of color and liberals.
Now, his criticism of Barack Obama was not personal. It was political.
Oh, yeah, because Obama was right
against his wife.
Right.
So,
you know, some people say that he was racist, but he countered that with his position over the years on civil rights. He's usually ranked in the top half of U.S. presidents.
And he's ranked third or fourth in modern presidential history.
Right. Behind presidents after, and we're talking about after 52.
Yeah.
But again, that's because even with all of this other stuff, we had money and we were not at war. And he left the largest surplus in modern history to W.
Who blew it?
Who blew it?
Who blew it like he was going to his cocaine dealer?
Ooh. Ouch. Okay.
Well, hey, look, he can't say he didn't inhale.
No, he did not.
No, but I mean. Yeah, Clinton is considered one of the best presidents in European
objectively.
Circles. Objectively.
Yeah, on paper. He had his good points and he has bad points. He's one of those people that you're going to love him or you're going to hate him.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
He's the opposite of W.
Yes, he is the...
He's
yeah.
a great president but a lousy human being.
Yes.
And look, you know, that's his sex scandals.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't ignore that.
Yeah.
If they had come out during his first run for presidency,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't have been president.
Not at all.
Pearl would have been president.
Mm-hmm. Whoo, that would have been fun.
But joking aside, I mean, you know, we could sit here all day and talk about how good or bad of a person he is, how good or bad of a president he is.
Right.
But I'll wager that he is probably the most important president since Reagan.
And probably. And
definitely the second most important president since JFK.
Because
Reagan was... Look, you can say what you want about Reagan... He was a powerhouse as a president.
Yes.
But Clinton
yes.
was equally powerhouse, too.
We love a good orator.
Yes. And yes. it just, like I said, it set the agenda for the next 30 years of political yes. debate.
Yes.
You know, we're still having the same debates, but
right.
we're from better footing.
Right.
You know.
So.
What's your opinion of him, truthfully?
I don't hate him. He's not my fave, but I grew up, I spent a lot of my formative years under Clinton. That didn't sound right. during the Clinton pregnancy. Oh, presidency, y'all, my brain, I'm done. But so that shaped a lot of how I view things, you know, and how I think things should be for one way or the other, good, bad, happy or sad, whatever. Now I've got that song in my head. Good and bad. Anyway, so I remember being younger and the war, the Iraq War.
Yeah.
And then I remember there being a time when there wasn't war, and it was good, and my friends joined the military. And then, oops, you know, and yeah, so don't dislike him. I think he did good in places. He did a lot of good in places. It's very complicated.
He's a very complicated and polarizing figure.
Yes, he is.
And we will leave it at that. Yes. Sarah, thank you for helping me out with this.
You are most welcome.
I'll be back here in a few minutes. Sarah might be back here in a few minutes. I don't know, but I'll be back here in a few minutes. You take it easy, everybody. We'll be right back.
Bye.
My sincerest thank you to Sarah Connolly for taking the time out of her busy day for talking to us about Bill Clinton. It's a heavy, heavy subject, but again, I like doing these long-form episodes, so if you guys like these long-form episodes and want me to do more, drop a suggestion on our social media pages, and I will do some long-form episodes for you. I've got a few more wanting to do. There's not just reviewing movies and such like that. So, yeah, that's what's coming up later in the season. Sarah's going to be joining me as we talk about some heavy, heavy subject, unfortunately. And the subject is heavy, unfortunately. Not that Sarah's coming back. That would be weird of me saying that. talking of this episode, if you like what we do here, tell us on our social media pages and tell us your opinion of Bill Clinton. Is he a good president? Was he a bad president? Is he a good man? Is he a bad man? Is he Bill Clinton? You tell us, okay? We're not telling you. You tell us. I want to hear from people, and I want to hear what you guys have to say, okay? Now, coming up this Tuesday, the 90s Gamer returns as we go back to the Caribbean with Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge. Yes, 10 episodes have been recorded, and that's all you're going to get from Monkey Island 2. It's a quick game, but it's a lot of fun playing it. Guybrush Threepwood is going around selling his fine leather jackets and fighting like a dairy farmer. Or is he? You'll find out in this next couple of weeks. And yeah, join us over on our YouTube channel. Go check out becausewenetwork.com for our information, okay? Next week, I will be flying solo as we talk about a 90s game that basically put the genre of motor racing games back on the map when we're talking about Gran Turismo. Now, it's going to be just me, and it's going to be a shorter episode because it's just me. I got nobody to bounce off of, nobody to talk to. But there's a reason for that, and I'll get to that next episode, okay? So it's going to be a no-frills episode next week. He's going to have the introduction music, the closing music, and that's about it. Nothing that, you know, defines what we do here, because it's going to be a short episode, like I said. So, and it's going to be the mid-season break after that. And yeah, but all that information will be given next week. So that is it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, guys and gals. I appreciate it. If you like what we do, go check out becausewenetwork.com for our archives. Go check out Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for our social media pages. And don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and Amazon Music. That's where you'll find this podcast. If you're not listening to it, where you regularly listen to podcasts, of course. And that's it. So I will see you next week. Take it easy, everybody. Bye.